Welcome to Books and Beyond with your host, Alison. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works.
Sumai, haere mai, kia ora. Welcome to our Books and Beyond Literary Lounge. This is your host, Alison, and I'm joined in the lounge today by my colleague, Inika. Kia ora, Inika.
Māloi, Lily. Alison, happy Tongan Langatwek.
Oh, sio to ofa. Greetings, Inika. Fefehake.
Sai pe malo.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear that you're good. Well, look, on today's lounge session, we're going to be talking about what we're reading and then what's on our to-be-read lists, our TBR lists, and we should have time for a hot tip.
Love the hot tips.
Yeah. Oh, they're great, aren't they? So now you've been reading something really, really good, haven't you?
Yes, I have. So in the last week or two, I have read a book called Too Much Lip, or a book, a tohi in Tongan, called Too Much Look. Too Much Lip by Melissa Lukashenko. This is a 2018 fiction novel, and you'll find it on Overdrive and Libby as well as in our fiction collection. Melissa Lukashenko is a Guri writer, so she's Aboriginal Australian from the New South Wales area, and this is her sixth novel, and it's an award-winning novel. She's won a few awards for this, but the biggest one is that she won the 2019 Miles Franklin Literary Award.
Because that's big.
It is big. Yeah. We've talked about that before. Hey, it's like our Occam's.
Yeah.
That's right. So this was a great read. I've really, really enjoyed this read. It's set in small town, rural, northern New South Wales. Mm. And it's the story of a working class First Nations family who are trying to reconnect with each other and their land through some really difficult times. Our main character is Kerry, who's the daughter of the family, and she's a Harley rider.
Oh,
yeah. Pretty cool. Her Harley is stolen. And at the start of the book, she comes roaring back to her hometown after avoiding it for quite a long time. Now, she's back to visit with her grandfather, who's more or less on his deathbed. And her plan is that she's going to only stay there for a couple of days and then get out of Dodge. But she ends up staying quite a bit longer. She gets drawn back into her family dynamic to kind of support her mum and her nephew. And also living in the family home is her older brother, who is a bit of a liability, really. He's underemployed, he's got a drinking problem, and he's got a short fuse. So there's this household, there's often a lot of tension, and then things can spark quite quickly. Quite a stressful environment for her to be in. But when she gets there, she tries to kind of moderate a little bit, but she also she can't really help but bring out the lip, as the title says, too much lip. She speaks her mind, and she really is kicking against the pricks, I have to say. Yeah, and so whether that's in her own household or in the town itself, or other issues that are going on, she puts herself in the thick of it, and often puts herself at risk, and sometimes on the wrong side of the law, trying to redress, you know, what she sees as the balance. Through her, we find out about the sort of historical and ongoing trauma that her family's experienced as a result of the whitefella in her town. And we also hear about the sort of deep connections and emotions that the family have around that land. They still live close by to their land. And there's quite a few reflections back looking at the history of their family as well. Lots of the connections are positive, but there's also some really traumatic events that happen on that land. And so we hear a lot about that sort of generational trauma that's happened within their family. Yeah, and while she's there in her hometown and kind of trying to settle back in a little bit and also looking for her escape route, she ends up catching wind of this secret development deal in the works, and the deal is going to benefit the local politician, dodgy local politician in the area, and it's going to destroy her family's land and the waters of that land. So this is what brings the family into action, and it kind of pulls them all together, even though they're in a really difficult spot with the grandfather having been unwell and lots going on in the family. That this is like their galvanizing. They sort of pull together, and in their own, each in their own way, they pull, they're trying to pull together to secure that land and pull their resources, sort of, whether that's their money resources or their, which are mostly quite limited.
Just thinking the parallels to our own land here.
Yeah.
You know, I can sort of see things like with the Ihumato land, and oh, it sounds so good.
It's really good, yeah. It's a real ripper, actually. I managed to read it in just a couple of days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very authentic and gutsy. She says that she found it a really difficult novel to write. She said it was quite re-traumatizing because a lot of this is very close to home for her. There's quite a few violent scenes and some traumatic experiences in the book, and she says basically everything in the book she has seen in her own family and friends group, and in history as well. So
that would be an interesting conversation to have with a writer. I'm thinking about how, when you're writing stuff that's so raw, how do you stop being re-traumatised by it?
That's right. I think it took her 2 years to write this book. And she did say it was very difficult. I think she's reaped the rewards of being so honest and out there with it. Yeah. Obviously, it's really resonated with the public. And it's really had a good outing.
Yeah. The other writer that it makes me bring to mind is Tara June Winch.
I'm thinking
as well, because now she's from New South Wales as well.
Right, yes.
Possibly the southern part of it. But I'm just remembering some of her stories are set in a very similar part, that northern rural part too, and writing about people who are living precarious.
Yeah, precarious is a good
lives,
word.
Traumatised.
She's recently run the world too, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. Now, and I've got a feeling she won the Miles Franklin at some stage.
I haven't read that, but I really must. Yeah.
But, this sounds so good. I really can't wait to have a look at this.
Yeah. I don't think there's a weight on it at the moment as well, because it is 2 years old now. So dive in. It's got great complex characters. It's a great depiction of working class life for Aboriginal and Indigenous Australians. Heaps of family drama, lots of secrets come out, lots of hard truths in there as well. But it's very funny. In the midst of all these conversations, they're quite hard bitten. And they are getting on with it, and there's lots of humour around it, and there's even a bit of romance as well.
Sounds as though it's everything you'd want. So that's Too Much Lip. Look into that one. Now, speaking of family dramas, if we just come back over the ditch, I have just read, oh my God, this has been amazing, The Girl in the Mirror by Rose Carlyle.
Hot, hot, hot.
It's the hot New Zealand book of 2020.
Completely.
And it's her first novel, so a debut writer. She's absolutely smashed it out of the park, this one. I've really just been in the mood for a sort of escape kind of thriller novel, and this one ticks all of those boxes. And I think this novel's come at the right time. We've just been talking about COVID and 2020 today, haven't we? And I think we all want a bit of escapism.
Absolutely.
And this is it. I absolutely hoovered it up. It only took me about a day and a half to read, and for me that is really something, because I'm not a fast reader.
Yeah.
It's full of twists and turns. It's absolute edge of the seat stuff. Now, as you know, and probably as our listeners know, there's been a huge buzz around this book. It's been widely praised, and it's fully deserving of the praise. And I can see why Hollywood have snapped this one up.
Yeah, licked on it.
Yeah, I think this would make a wonderful movie. So, Girl in the Mirror, it centres around a pair of identical twins, and they're called Iris and Summer Rose, mm-hmm. or else Iris and Summer. And outwardly, they both appear to have it all. They've got beauty, money, they've got good careers, a beach and sort of boating lifestyle that stretches between New Zealand, Australia and Thailand.
Sounds nice.
But it does sound sort of outwardly perfect. But, as you can imagine, all is not what it seems. And so Iris, she's probably the more complex character. She's deeply insecure and troubled, actually, and she craves the sort of seemingly perfect life that Summer has created for herself. And so she's always felt that somewhat sort of overshadowed by Summer, and that Summer has always been the twin who was favoured by their mother and father. Now, Summer, who just happens to be living her life on a luxury yacht in Phuket, Thailand, as you do.
Goals.
So she reaches out to Iris in a sort of desperate time, and she desperately needs Summer to come over and help her sail this yacht over the Indian Ocean, and because they need to get to the Seychelles. So Iris drops everything, races over to help her, and then the psychological drama begins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hugely plot and character driven, but the suspense is just, I don't know the word for it, but it's magnificent.
Mm.
It's really something. Now, I think the fact that a lot of the drama takes place on this yacht, I think it makes it a perfect escape kind of read.
Yeah.
I felt, when I was reading it, I felt as though I was on a beach somewhere and sort of sipping from a sneaky frozen margarita or something, and don't we all need that at the moment?
Yeah, that's a mood.
Yeah. And so I was reading about greed and lust and lies and family secrets, but I was in the comfort and safety of my armchair. With the heater on and a cat on my lap, as you do. But I wish I knew enough about sailing to be able to use a metaphor like, you know, we were riding the waves. Or I wish I had something clever to say, but I don't know enough about sailing.
And off the top of my head, I can't think of one, and my dad would be absolutely ashamed of me about saying that.
But all I can
riding close to the wind?
Yes, sailing, yeah, that's
sailing
true.
Close to the wind.
But so all I can say is strap yourself in, put up a spinnaker or two.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's a good one. And look, prepare for the ride of your life. Don't get washed overboard or, you know, and let the waves of suspense sort of wash all over. But look, it's great. I think, too, I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to say that this is the best of, you know, there's that bunch of books called Girl on the Train, Gone Girl,
yep.
the whole girl.
So many girls.
Thing. Yeah.
Window? Is there a girl in
yes.
the window? Or was that a woman in
oh,
the window?
Oh, that was the woman in the window, wasn't yep. it? Yeah. And I know some people think, oh, why do we call them girls? And that's probably another conversation.
Yeah.
But this is the best of the girl books.
She's now the girl.
Say. Yes. She is the it girl of the girl books.
Mm.
I kind of love this. For those of us, you're probably not old enough to remember the 80s, you know, some of those high camp shows like Gloss, that was the New Zealand one, and Dynasty. And
yes, all shoulder blades and flinging drinks in people's faces.
Yes, and big hair and yep. that sort of thing. It's got aspects.
Stomping around in stilettos.
Yes, it's got aspects of that because of the family background, the family dynamic. So it's a bit camp. But it's really something. So I'd say,
so good.
Get yourself on the list, and it's a holiday in a glass and a half of martini.
Fantastic.
And I've never even had a martini, but it makes you want to
drink some hard liquor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's brilliant. I can't say enough about it.
Fantastic.
So I can see why Hollywood's all over this one.
Yeah. She's an Auckland author,
yes,
isn't she?
Yes, she is. So, yeah.
Great.
Well done, Well done, Rose. Awesome. So that is a great one. Now, the other one I'm reading, I haven't quite finished it, but I was still in the mood for a bit of a drama thriller.
Yeah.
And I've stayed on the sisterly theme because I'm reading, this is great, it's an American one, and it's called Long Bright River. And it's by the American writer Liz Moore, and 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, this one's available in hard copy, so in our adult fiction section, but it's also on audio CD and then ebook and e-audio through the Overdrive Libby app.
Lots of options, so that's always good.
Yeah, lots of options. And the library even has the German translation of this too. So this has been widely praised as well. It's a mystery. It's a police procedural. However, it's more than that. And this is what I think I'm really liking. It's a profoundly moving look at the, excuse me, the opioid crisis in America,
yes,
which is just, we've talked about some of those before.
A little bit, yeah, that's right.
We're looking at the decline of those once great American cities and also the loss of entire communities, who, you know, losing their battle with addiction and despair.
Mm.
So this one's set in Philadelphia, and it's in a decaying part of the inner city, of that huge city. And it's this part of the town hasn't yet been rediscovered by hipsters, so there's no sort of really nice cafes and e-bike stores or, you know,
pre-gentrification.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very much before all of that, even though it's set in the present. And what I found really interesting, I suppose because of my Irish roots, but this is the area, I think it's called Kensington, Philadelphia. I'm not sure if that's a fictitious, it might be a fictitious part of the city, but it's the part that's always been home to the Irish, the Puerto Rican and African American communities.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all of those three communities have been traditionally looked down upon by the white middle classes and above.
Yeah.
So I've particularly enjoyed the Irish side of this, but that'll be because of some family history.
Yeah, Irish roots.
Yeah. And so in the story, we're following police officer Mickey Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
that's a good name, isn't
it? It's a really good name, yeah.
Now, Mickey is short for Michaela. So she's a young woman, but she's been patrolling this 24th precinct for years, and she's familiar with the whole feeling of desperation. She's lost both of her parents to the opioid crisis, so both of them died of drug overdoses.
Really personal.
Really personal. And in this precinct that, you know, she walks the beat, she knows all the working women by name, and they trust her. She's a good, even though she's a cop, you know, they think she's a good cop. And most of her job is finding overdose victims, which would be terrible, wouldn't it? So they're just finding hundreds and hundreds a year.
Oh, my goodness.
But things start to change for Mickey Fitzpatrick when the bodies of murdered sex workers start turning up. And all of this is happening at the same time that her troubled sister has gone missing.
Mm.
So it's intense, it's powerful, it's personal. It's a really good novel. It's more than, you know, you get those plot-driven cops and robbers. I'm thinking the Lee Child kind of romp. That they're great, you know, if that's what you're into. But this is more than that. It's a portrait of devastation and despair. And also, you know, you get this feeling of the vulnerability yet strength of women who are caught up in cycles of poverty and addiction.
Sure.
It's really something.
And because she's got the professional and the personal side to it. Yeah.
That's right. And you see this sort of compassion, courage. It's heart-wrenching. But there's something really fresh about the writing. I'm not sure that I can explain it very well, but it's just a feeling I get. But it really keeps you hooked. Now, I haven't quite finished it, but I am loving this book.
Sounds awesome.
So, so Long Bright River by Liz Moore. That's one I'd really recommend.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one, so that's really good to know.
Yeah. And I guess the river probably... there's certainly a river through the city, but there's rivers of tears, rivers of blood. You know, there's rivers.
Yeah. Well, actually, my next book that I've been reading also features a river, the Whanganui River.
Oh, yes.
This is a New Zealand book, Aotearoa New Zealand book, and by a debut novelist called Kirsty Powell. Written last year, and it's called The Strength of Eggshells. It's available in our fiction department, not on ebook. Hopefully it will be later on in the piece. Our main character in this is also a motorcycle mama, a bit like Kerry. Yeah. This is Kate this time. Kate has grown up in rural North Waikato, and she was adopted into a farming family as a baby. And she's grown up with very little knowledge about her parentage, her birth parentage, other than that her mother died while she was a patient at Kingsseat. This is how the adoption happened, is that the baby was left and she's come into a rural family. So when we meet her, she's in her mid-20s, she's living in Auckland, and she's having a bit of a quarter-life crisis. It's starting to affect her work. She's a teacher. We don't hear much about her teaching work, but she's finding it hard to get up in the mornings. And she's in this sort of complicated love-hate, very sort of codependent relationship with her best friend, Ian, who also was kind of like informally adopted into the family because of troubles in his own family. So Ian is this sort of sober, I think he's an ICT, he's a professional, and that's in the daytime, but when he comes home at night, he is Ursula, a befrocked woman on the nights and weekends. She is living a sort of a double life. Ian's really good at nurturing Kate through all her emotional swings and roundabouts, but bloody Ursula, as we hear about quite a lot through the novel, really gives it to her straight. Once the wig goes on, the straight talk starts.
So, Ursula sounds like a damn fine woman.
She is a damn fine woman, and she cooks some great eggs too. So Ursula urges her to sort of take control by finding out a bit more about her heritage and trying to set some demons to rest, because it's really starting to affect the whole of her life. Anyway, she takes up the challenge and she decides she is going to search for her birth family in their stories. So she jumps on her motorbike and she goes on a bit of a few different road trips throughout the book. She visits Kingsseat. I'm trying to find some official records about her birth mother and find out a bit more about any staff who may know of her. Find a little bit out about that. And then her path takes her through to Whangamomona and the Mangapurua Valley in Whanganui.
Oh, yes, that's that really spiritual part of... the country, isn't it?
Yes. I'm not really familiar with the area at all, but it sounds absolutely fascinating. Apparently there's you can go on a jet boat or fizz boat to an area called the Bridge of Nowhere and go for a walk up through. Sounds absolutely fascinating. And it's an area where returning veterans were given land to farm on, and a lot of them ended up having to abandon the land because it was really rugged and really rough and remote terrain. We get to hear three stories from the three generations in her family as we go on. We get the contemporary story of Kate, and then we get this sort of pioneering stoicism of her grandmother Meredith, who ends up living in the Mangapurua Valley with her war-traumatised husband in this kind of loveless marriage. And we also hear about her mysterious mother, Jane, who we mainly learn about her through these diary entries from her psychiatrist at Kingsseat. And we also hear about her through her poetry. It's a book of her poetry that she's written as part of her therapy. The poetry's actually lovely. I actually really enjoyed the poetry. Ooh. So, Kirsty Powell can really write across quite a few genres.
Yeah.
The book won the New Zealand Book Lovers Award earlier this year in March. So, yeah, really impressive first novel. It's a very grassroots New Zealand story, really authentic depictions of rural life, looking at sort of current rural life and also historical rural life. Yeah, let me put it this way. I now feel quite confident that I could probably ring a chicken fence, maybe use a mangle, just do my sheets.
Good skills.
Yeah, really good skills, yes. Right? Yeah, who knows what will happen? You know, these are the skills we may need.
We may need them. Work in one of those pubs? Down those Whanganui pubs and pull a good pint.
Do you know what? There's a pub in the book. Mm. Yeah, and this is a real pub apparently. So yeah, check it out if you're in the area. She actually helps to put the kegs downstairs into the basement. Yeah, so this is the kind of woman she is.
Good skill.
6 foot tall and yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's got heaps going for it. Lots of twists and turns. And that poetry that we get coming through the novel is full of little clues and hints. About different parts of the story. Really, really well researched, particularly that post-World War One section. She's actually added some real historical figures from the area, from families in the area as side characters with the permission of their ancestors. And they kind of add to that fictional main character's lives as well.
This sounds wonderful. Mm. Gee, there's some good debut fiction coming through, isn't there?
A lot of great New Zealand writing coming through.
Loving it.
Yeah,
yes.
Me too.
Now, I'm going to put that on my TBR list. So now, what's on your TBR?
Yeah, well, I've always got a bit of a stack going, but one that I've just started is one called Fleischman is in Trouble by Taffy Brodesser Ackner. I think this has come out late last year. The author's a New York journalist.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've only read the first few chapters. So far it's kind of, you know, sort of mildly absorbing. It's about a 40-something man who's recently divorced. He's getting back into the dating scene and because he's been out of the dating scene for decades, he's quite excited by the fact that when he swipes right, you know, there's all these women who are, you know what they want and showing them their thongs and he's like, well, is this what I've been missing out on?
Yeah.
And he's sort of reflecting fairly bitterly on his long relationship with his ex-wife. Mm. Apparently there's a twist coming soon. This is what I hear. Don't think it's just what it seems when I look at that first part. It came highly recommended to me by our friend Laura Cagle.
Oh, yes.
She's a wonderful librarian, and she's a regular book reviewer on RNZ's 9 to Noon program. She really knows her books, so I'm sure it's going to be a goodie.
Yes, and I think if Laura recommends it, it's going to be a winner.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
That sounds great. I can't wait to. I might learn a bit about the swiping business.
Yeah. Yes. I'm learning a lot, yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. Oh, look, that's really good. Now, look, as our hot tip, we're coming up to Māori Language Week, aren't we?
Yes,
so we are. Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. What are we thinking? Get involved, I would say.
Absolutely,
wouldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it runs 14th to the 20th of September. So, yeah, I would really encourage everybody to get stuck in and Tautoko the Reo.
Yes.
I'm going to use my time to practice my pronunciation.
Yeah. Oh, look, we all need to work on that, don't we?
Some days are better than others.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And there's going to be lots on the library's social media channels.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not able to do live events just at the minute, but lots going on, heaps to learn and lots to still get stuck into.
Yeah, I think it's
great.
Take
the journey.
And it's a good celebration, and we all need to be just celebrating it.
Absolutely,
giving the language the love that it needs.
Yeah, check out the website. Come and see what we're up to at Ngā Pātaka Kōrero o Tāmaki Makaurau.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it's time to say nō fo'a, so goodbye to our listeners. Thanks for being with us today. Happy reading, haere rā, and ka kite anō.
This program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day, every day, every day.
day.